On to some letters for the past week received at the Evening News. Ray King from Royden has a proposal for what to do with the soon-to-be-defunct Police and Crime Commissioners. At last, this government may have done something to cut our tax bill, getting rid of the Crime Commissioners. We have a Chief Constable who should report to the Council. Why do we have to have another level of bureaucracy? If the Labour Party really wants to preserve civil service jobs, maybe a roads works commissioner to check the endless roadworks.
Alan S. Mallett from Coleshill is obviously a supporter of Norwich City and has been for some time. And he writes in hoping to avoid a repeat in relation to an earlier season or two. Older fans will recall that City's present position is currently as precarious as it was in November 1956. After the 1954-55 season, long-serving manager Norman Lowe was sacked and replaced by Tom Parker, who had managed City's promotion to the second division 21 years earlier. Unfortunately, most of Parker's subsequent experience was as a marine engineer. 1955-56 saw an improvement from 12th to 7th position, largely helped by his best signing, Ralph Hunt, who scored a record 33 goals that season. During the closed season, Parker cleared out a number of mainly reserve players, one or two retired, but he also dispensed with Bobby Brennan's services and signed several new players, none of whom made a great impression. 1956-57 started well enough, with 10 points from the first six games, scoring seven and conceding one, and sitting atop the division. Two away defeats were followed by a 3-0 win against Plymouth, and thereafter a run of 25 league and one cup match ensued before wins against Millwall and Shrewsbury. By this time, City were rock bottom and only won one more match to finish 5th points adrift. The good news was that, firstly, we were not relegated as a result, and secondly, that Archie McCauley was engaged in Parker's place towards the end of the season, and we know what followed. Thirdly, our 26 winless run was not a record. Crewe Alexander had started a similar run one match earlier and went on to clock up 32 winless games. Let's hope history will not repeat itself. I'm with you on that, Alan.
Fiona Hall feels Brexit has finally been called out. 5 years since Brexit, and a British Chancellor has finally called out Brexit for what it is, an act of pure economic sabotage and vandalism. Politics is finally catching up with the economic reality. The Office for Budget Responsibility estimates that it has wiped 4% from our economy, an act of self-harm. The resulting suppression of wages and loss in revenue for the Treasury have increased the likelihood of tax rises in the upcoming budget. New polling by Best for Britain shows that 3 in 5 Brits now see Brexit as a failure, with 7 in 10 of these voters blaming Nigel Farage. His silence on the subject speaks volumes. Alongside pointing out the problem and those responsible, the government must increase efforts to work with the EU to undo the damage. They must go further and faster in removing barriers to trade, unlocking growth, pushing prices down, and putting money back into people's pockets.
Ruth Harrison from Aylsham comments on meeting the costs of care. I was puzzled by a recent editorial about bed blocking. It seemed to identify this as something for the NHS to fix. But unless I've completely got it wrong, it's social services who care for people who are medically fit but unable to manage without help at home. Any delay in sorting out what they call a care package means the person remains in hospital. And as social services, like the NHS and other public services, is overworked, understaffed, and underfunded, delays are inevitable, with too few social workers trying to find affordable beds in privately owned care homes. Yes, it is a problem for the NHS, but not a problem it can solve. How sad that our society doesn't seem prepared to pay for people's needs. Of course, taxes need to go up. How else can we meet the costs of care?
Brian Elsie from Diss remembers watching the filming of a TV advert. Whilst reading a recent paper, I noticed with interest in the history section that in 1969, the ITV channels screened the first colour television commercial in Britain for Bird's Eye Peas. I, along with Tim Mills, the farm's owner, watched the filming of the said commercial. The pea plants were mounted on 4-foot tripods, so with the rising of the sun, the plants sprayed with water gave the impression of freshness with an early morning dew. It took 3 days to complete the filming to produce a satisfactory quality of advert. Tim Mills and myself were invited to have lunch with the film crew at Caister Hall Hotel that day in 1969.